You got to make an adjustment. It's game five. You got to switch it up.
You got to switch it up.
I know I'll be in front of the TV watching.
This is Queens of the Court.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast produced in partnership with the WNBA. I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. And court is in session.
Let's go. I don't gavel anymore. It's done. My gavel's done.
It's done. It had a good run. It's done. You might need a replacement gavel.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I think my gavel says it's been a long season. So I'm retiring. My gavel retired.
It's already on the beach somewhere. What's up?
I am back
from vacation, and it was a wonderful
Do tell, because I saw pictures, and I'm so jealous. So jealous.
Oh, first of all,
Can I say something before you get into it?
Please do.
I just want to say this. Like, I love my husband and like he's my best friend. But when I saw pictures of you and your husband, I was like, oh, that's black love. No, for real. You looked so happy. Like y'all were just living your life. So happy. Well, I was so happy.
That is my best friend. And it was so much fun to celebrate our second year wedding anniversary.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you so much. And we went to Costa Rica and it was awesome, but you won't believe what I did, Cheryl. You know how I'm scary. I don't like roller coasters. I don't even really like heights. I don't really like anything. Like, I like to be on the ground with a cocktail in my hand. That's usually what I do on vacation. But I went ziplining through the rainforest in Costa Rica, and I'm
with a drink in your hand.
The tail. No, not with a drink in my hand. I was holding on for dear life. My hands still hurt.
Oh my god,
holding on so tight.
Wow,
but it was awesome. Something that we will never forget. So it was such a wonderful time. We made new memories, went to a new place. And the best part, I wasn't on Twitter for a whole week, wasn't on social media. I just needed a break from all of it. And it was great.
Yeah. Whose idea was it to go ziplining?
It was both of ours because that was such a huge thing in Costa Rica. Like, you had to do it. They had so many opportunities to do ziplining, but it was just rainforest, just a endless, infinite trees below you. It was crazy.
Okay. Okay. Good for you. Don't know if I could do that.
Thank you. Well, how you gotta live.
You gotta live, and you're living your best life.
Oh yeah.
My weekend was not as exciting as your vacation, but I mean, we'll get into hoops. I went and checked out the Aces Liberty game three. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, the game itself, the first half was really good. Third quarter, Aces just, you know, put New York out of it. But the vibe, the atmosphere, like in the arena, was so lit. It mm-hmm. was just, and I was actually sitting next to some of the Dallas Mavericks, and like Jason Kidd and Nico Harrison and Luka, and then Kyrie came. But I'm only saying that because all of them were like, oh my God, it is so nice in here. The crowd, like, they were excited about it, you know? Mm-hmm. So it was good to be in the building and, you know, just watch some good basketball and Then let's see. Oh, and then I traveled to Portland because one of my really, really, really good friends who is a coworker at Nike, Claire Hamill. Claire was responsible for me getting my very first shoe. Mm. And she's retiring from Nike after 43 years.
Whoa.
So, yeah, right. So I went and celebrated that with her, and that was my weekend. And wow, just happy to be back home.
World travel. Look, if I ever want to know where you are, I'm going to look courtside, and that will that will tell me where in the world is Cheryl Swoop. She's sitting courtside somewhere.
You're funny. You're very, very funny. No, but I will say this. The Aces, they always take really, really, really good care of me whenever I go. So it was good to be there.
Great. So, okay, we'll get into that. We'll get into that game in just a little bit in the second segment. But first, let's talk about some awards, because since we've last recorded, all the awards are out. I think we talked about Asia winning MVP, but some other awards were released. And let's start with Rookie of the Year. So, Caitlin,
you like
Clark,
my coffee mug? Sorry, I cut you off. Can you read it?
Yes, fit for a queen.
How about that? Okay,
that's
go
perfect.
Ahead. I just wanted to share.
That's perfect. So, Caitlin Clark won Rookie of the Year, near unanimous Rookie of the Year selection. She had an incredible year. Number one draft pick in April, got 66 of the 67 votes from the national media panel. But she just had a historic year, and I think she really separated herself a little bit towards that end of the season. I know Angel Reese got hurt. The Sky were not doing so hot, and the Fever were doing really, really hot. And Caitlin Clark was a big part of that. She averaged 19 points, WNBA best, 8.4 assists, 5.7 rebounds, and 1.3 steals in about 35 minutes per game. She led all rookies in each of those categories except rebounding, which she was third. That Angel and Asia were in that mix. But along with leading in assists, Clark was first in three-pointers, 122, and second in minutes per game of free throw percentage. But Caitlin Clark, Rookie of the Year, how about it?
First of all, you reading all of that just made me tired.
I know, right? I'm so happy. I'm so happy she is getting a break. She yeah. has been going nonstop for yeah. so long.
Before I even comment, I do need to clarify some things.
Sure.
People, PSA. I do not get a vote. I do not vote for awards, any awards, MVP, Rookie of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, nothing. And I'm only saying this because it was brought to my attention, because I too, like you, tried to take a break from social media. Mm-hmm. You know, but there's a part of me that's like, all right, let me go see what I did today. and someone texted me and said, girl, you are trending on Twitter. And I was like, I don't know for what this time, because I haven't been on Twitter. And apparently everyone thinks I am that one person who voted for Angel for Rookie of the Year. Nope, it wasn't me. Don't know who it was. But if the person who voted for Asia, fourth place vote last year, would speak up, maybe the person who voted for Angel this year would speak up. I don't know. I'm just saying. So it wasn't me. Just needed to clarify that. But I will say, I agree with you. In the beginning of the season, before the Olympic break, I really thought like it was close between Caitlin mm-hmm. and Angel. And there was a part of me that was like, right now, if voting came out, not me voting because I don't vote, I think Angel would have won. Post-Olympic break, without question, even before Angel got hurt, I thought Caitlin yeah. came back from Olympic break and just separated herself from every other rookie in the league. Just really. Played really, really well in the second half and very deserving of Rookie of the Year. So congrats, Caitlin Clark.
And I also want to throw out there that it's already been announced that she is going to be in a pro-am golf event. So she was not joking when she said in her last press conference that she's going to go play golf. Maybe she'll go pro in golfing. She's already going to be in a pro-am golf tournament next month. So on the LPGA tour. So not wow. some light. So she is also going to get her hand in golfing. Maybe she'll get a month's rest, but she's already on to another sport to make history in. So I thought that was hilarious.
I think it's interesting because I know a lot of people were wondering if she was going to play in Unrivaled. Mm-hmm. And I know she was like, I'm not playing. I'm taking a break. But
yeah, which
she's going to go play golf.
She should take a break. She should take a break. And I feel like what we were just talking about, she had a break during the Olympics and she came back amazing. So now I can't wait to see what year two of Caitlin Clark is after some time off and some relaxation and some rest. It's going to be good.
Absolutely.
Okay, moving on to Defensive Player of the Year, Nafisa Collier from the Minnesota Lynx. She finished second in MVP voting, but she received 36 votes out of the 67 to get, oh no, that was for the MVP race. So she got Defensive Player of the Year, and she has been an offensive stalwart, but she's also been on the defensive end. She held opponents to 36% field goal shooting as the closest defender this season, top mark in the league. And like we've talked about, Minnesota Lynx have been one of the best defensive teams all season long. So how do you feel, Miss Defensive Player of the Year? How do you feel about Nafisa getting this award?
Congratulations. Here's my question. No, because I have a question. Right. And this is not to take anything away from Nafisa. I think she's been playing exceptionally well all season on both ends of the floor. My question is when awards are being selected, and again, I do not vote. I'm going to keep saying that. When you're looking at individual awards, are you looking at, I'm not saying you in general, I'm just saying for the people who vote, are you looking at what that player does individually, or are you looking at what that player does individually helps the team? Meaning, yes, Minnesota was one of the best defensive teams in the league, right? But when you look at Nafisa's individual stats, let me read this. So she was second in the WNBA in steals, third in rebounds, and seventh in blocks. I don't have Asia's individual stats up here to compare, but I know Asia was first in rebounding. Don't know where she was in blocks or steals. Because I know there's a big argument of Asia should have been Defensive Player of the Year as well as MVP. So that's a question I have.
Yeah, I think it's a good question. I think you have to look at both a little bit. And we have here that Asia was first in blocks. I think you have to look at both. I think you have to look at the individual stats, but also how those individual stats affect their team and help their team. And I think Minnesota being the top defensive team helped her in that aspect.
Sure. I totally agree with that.
Yeah. I think overall though, and I don't even know how to phrase this. Like, Nafisa had such a great season. I guess I'm just happy that she has an individual award to show for it. Like, I don't want us to look back and forget this type of year that she had. I would agree that it was more on the offensive end, especially what she's doing now in the postseason. Everybody is on notice of just how much of a bucket getter Nafisa Collier is and how smooth her game is. But she's 100%. Also just so lengthy and just everywhere. I think it's also interesting, too, when you watch these matchups. I think after she won the award, I have been paying even more close attention to her defense. And you just see how she has the ability to switch on so many people. And she's getting block shots. She's getting after loose balls. She's switching on guards to post to playing everybody for the Connecticut Sun team. But yeah, I think that has been a hot button topic. Should it have been Asia Wilson, because she just had such a dominant season on both ends of the ball. And we also saw Asia blocking shots left and right in this postseason. So yeah, but I'm happy for Nafisa. I really am.
I'm very happy for Nafisa, especially given the fact that, you know, she was out last year with her daughter. Was it last year or 2 years ago?
That was two years ago.
But coming back from her pregnancy, right, and just having to get back in playing form, and absolutely, she's very deserving. I agree with you when you look at the overall package. Asia had better stats individually, but when you look at it from a team standpoint, like Minnesota on the defensive end, they just click on all cylinders. And Nafisa's ability to switch and defend multiple positions, I think, is what gave her the edge over Asia for Defensive Player of the Year.
Absolutely. I love it.
I guess. Okay. I don't vote, so. Okay, I'll stop.
We're making that very, very clear. Yes, I do vote. I did vote for Asia for Defensive Player of the Year. But I do understand. I went back and forth. I went back and forth with Nafisa and Asia. And I understand how she won it. I get it. Someone I also voted for was Tiffany Hayes, Sixth Player of the Year. I feel like the Aces really set her up to win this award. It was the perfect award for her. This is her. It's the fifth time in the past six seasons that it's gone to a Las Vegas Aces player, which I think is crazy.
That's crazy.
Coming, just having that star power coming off of the bench. But in her 12th WNBA season, Tiffany Hayes, we all know the story. She came out of retirement, which, by the way, someone tweeted, they said, I love how when we talk about Tiffany Hayes coming out of retirement, we're like acting like she was in a retirement home or like on the beach somewhere out of hoop for years and years. It was a few months. OK, she was still playing 3x3 in Azerbaijan, and, you know, she was still hooping. But she retired from the league and she got the call back. And she now is a Sixth Player of the Year. Cheryl, how do you feel about that?
Well, I know. And people are like, well, she shouldn't have ever been retired anyway. So stop acting like she was done playing. I mean, absolutely. Very deserving. There was a point in the beginning of the season when Kennedy Carter wasn't starting. And I was like, Kennedy Carter will be Sixth Player of the Year. Then she moved into the starting lineup. But Tiffany Hayes, to me, could and should be starting on any team in the league. But the fact that she understood her role and came off the bench for the Aces, every time she was in the game, she made a difference. And not just her ability to score the basketball, but on defense. I can't think of anyone else right now at the top of my head that even comes close to being that Sixth Player of the Year. And Tiffany Hayes absolutely deserved it. And congrats, Tiffany.
Congrats. She averaged 9.5 points, almost 3 rebounds, 2.1 assists per game while making 40% of her 3-point attempts. And I loved, even in this postseason, you know, even towards the end of the season too, when the starters, maybe they're off to a little bit of a slow start, you just saw Becky going to Tiffany earlier and earlier in that first quarter.
Yes.
Like she was like, okay, we need a spark. And Tiffany Hayes was their spark plug on both ends, just flying everywhere. She was a menace. And I know opponents hated when they saw her running to check in, because she is that type of player that changes the momentum of the game. She starts driving, she starts attacking, and I am such a fan of 3x3, but it is very much her mindset, and you can see, okay, our offense, what are we doing? What I'm going to go get a bucket. Like, we're passing around, we're standing around. I'm just going to drive to the basket. I'm going to pull up. I'm going to go make something happen. And for this Las Vegas offense, they needed somebody like that, especially to come off the bench. So this was a perfect fit for her. I hope she stays with the Aces. I hope she stays in the league. She definitely has shown that she deserves to be in this league. So I hope we don't, you know, in a couple months, she's like, yeah, I'm retiring again. That was fun. I'm done. That was a good run, everybody. But I
just wanted to remind y'all. I still got it.
Just want to remind y'all, if you didn't watch the Olympics or anything else, I'm still that girl. Hope she stays. All right, let's talk about some rookies. All WNBA rookie team. This was the year of the rookies. We were talking about them all season long, but let's just give a little bit of shout out. So we talked about Caitlin Clark. She was on all rookie team. Rekia Jackson from the Sparks, Angel Reese from Chicago, Camila Cardoso from Chicago, and Leone Fibich from New York. This is right. Like, this is the all-rookie team. How do you feel about it?
No doubt. 100%. You know, the only player on here that I look at and I say, yeah, she's a rookie, but she is a rookie that has international experience, that would be Leone Fibich. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you, and I know we'll get into the game, she is the difference maker this year. Absolutely. For the Liberty. Even in games where she doesn't shoot the ball as well, but she, to me, she is that missing piece that they did not have last year. You know how I feel about Rekia Jackson. Rekia, to me, again, had things been different, if she would have gotten more playing time in the beginning, if the Sparks record was better, I do believe Rekia Jackson would have been in that Rookie of the Year conversation. She has so much talent and potential. This kid is going to cause some problems in this league. So excited about her future. You know how I feel about Angel. Again, I thought Angel came into this league and I think she exceeded expectations. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people weren't really sure how she would adjust immediately. Yeah, on the offensive end, she's got work to do, but all players do, right? Even mm-hmm. when you're not a rookie, you can always get better. But to mm-hmm. me, what I really loved about Angel's game this season was just how hard she played every possession. It didn't matter what the score was. They were up, down. It didn't really matter. Angel was just going to play hard and be Angel. Camila, same thing. I think when you look at Chicago and you look at these two players in particular, they drafted two rookies with hella talent. Mm-hmm. And if they can find a way to keep these two together, Chicago is going to make some noise in this league very, very soon. Again, Camila, just raw talent. You know, she's tall. She affects the game on both ends of the floor, but especially defensively, just being in the paint. People, anytime you come in the lane, you're going to think twice if Camila Cardoso is standing in the paint. And, absolutely. You know, we talked about Caitlin earlier. I just thought what Caitlin was able to do coming into the league this season, just the numbers she put up and just she, I don't know. She just was crazy. Just, you know, shooting the basketball. Again, to me, I still feel like the best part of Caitlin's game this season was her passing. Her ability to just put the ball where it needed to be, when it needed to be there. And I just, this rookie class together, you said it was the year for the rookies. And this rookie class was a really, really good one.
I look at this all rookie team and I just say, the future is bright. Like, this could very much be a future all WNBA, you know, second team, first team, all WNBA team, like, just as it is.
No doubt. No doubt.
All of these players made impacts on their teams, huge impacts. And I think having, you know, Chicago having two on this all rookie team is a big deal. And that should get them excited. Rekia Jackson, you know, you mentioned if she would have had more minutes, if she would have, I think it just took her a little bit to just get warmed up, get a feel of the speed, the pace, the physicality of the W. But if I'm her and if I am in her corner, I am saying, don't worry about that, because you are going to be in this league for a very long time. Like, don't worry about this rookie of the year race. You are going to have a spot. This is a type of player, Rekia Jackson, that other teams are like, okay, how many years she got left on her contract? Like, how can we get her on our team? Like, it just can fit in anywhere.
100%. 100%.
I am excited about that for her. And then, yes, for Phoebich, you know, she is a rookie, but, you know, we always talk about the beginning of the season when rosters are being made and players are being waived and cut. That was Phoebich's story. She was a second round pick for the Sparks in 2020. And this is 2024. So four years later, she is now on the WNBA all rookie team. So when we say delayed, not denied, you know, when we talk about to all of those rookies who are coming in and maybe they don't make the roster, it wasn't meant for her to make the roster for the Sparks in 2020. It was meant for her to be on this New York team right now. And now she's headed to the finals. Like, this is the perfect roster spot for her. So I love that that is a complete story. And in between those 4 years, she's been hooping overseas. She has been working on her game. And I love, my favorite thing about Phoebich, she is a true 6'4". She is tall as hell.
She is tall.
She is tall. She's a tall guard.
She is, seeing her on the wing and seeing her be able to switch on Asia Wilson, because it's like,
yes,
as tall as Stewie.
Yes.
And you can knock down the three like it ain't nothing. So
her and then woo. Yeah. But then her ability to go and post up Kelsey Plum, like, you forget how tall she is until you actually watch her in action. And that her stroke, though, when she shoots it, I'm like, oh, that's good. Right.
Every time.
And then it's not. I'm like, oh, my bad. Just a beautiful, beautiful shot.
Beautiful. It's
good to have,
shot.
It's good. It's really, really good to have her in the league.
I love it. All right. Well, congratulations to all the award winners. What a season it has been. We're going to bump to break because we're talking about postseason and the semifinals. That's coming up next. Welcome back to Queens of the Court. Let's talk some basketball, Cheryl Swoops. Shall we?
Let's do it.
So,
I can't believe it's almost the finals.
I know. I can't believe it's almost the finals, but there's just been some high level basketball in these semifinals. It has been so fun. I feel like I have been a kid in a candy store just watching the best players in the world go at it. And it just feels like that every night. But some teams were a little bit better than other teams, because that's how the game works. There's got to be a winner. There's got to be a loser. And in game four, Liberty defeated the Aces 76-62 to advance to the WNBA Finals for the second year straight. New York won the series 3-1. So the Aces didn't get swept. We talked about that game three where they came out firing, ready to go with their first home game, but it wasn't enough. The Liberty were just better. I'll be honest. They've been the best team all season, and they just kind of showed it.
Yes, they have.
what were some things that stuck out to you with the determination for this Liberty team to get back to the finals?
Listen, a lot, but Sabrina Ionescu has been balling. And what really stood out to me in game four was her bounce back, because game three, she just struggled. She struggled shooting the ball, 1-for-7 from the floor, only had 4 points. To me, that was the biggest difference in them not winning game three. And the Aces played really well in that third quarter in game three. But Sabrina's ability to just forget about game three and come back on the road and have the type of performance that she had in game four is what really stood out to me. But Jordan, I'll also tell you, and I know we'll get into individual players, the Liberty to me this year, we talked about Phoebish being a big difference, but I also like the bench. I love New York's bench. Kayla Thornton comes in the game and she's a big body guard that can defend. She's strong. She can score. Like, she's a dog. Kayla Thornton comes off the bench and plays really well. Sabali comes in off the bench and plays really well. And now you're bringing Courtney Vandersloot, who has been a starter. Courtney comes in off the bench and gives the Liberty a completely different look. And so I think the Liberty, they're ready for this moment, right? They're pissed off about what happened last year, and they're ready to try and win their first championship. And I think right now they look really, really, really good.
Courtney Vandersloot off the bench has been surprising. It seems like she just gets shot out of a cannon when she comes into the game. She's looking to score. She's like, I think that was a little surprising. And how cool it is that as a vet, she has accepted this new role. Yep. I think it fits her. And especially with the matchup with the Aces, I really like it. I want to talk about Sabrina, too, for a second, because going back to game three, the Aces put together a great scheme. You know, they were throwing double teams, triple teams. They were throwing everybody at the ball and saying, okay, make someone else beat us, and we're going to force Sabrina to pass out of our double team. Come game four, Sandy did an amazing job of taking Sabrina off the ball. They said, okay, you're going to do that. We're not going to have Sabrina bring up the ball. We're going to have Stewie bring up the ball, and we're going to run action for Sabrina off of the ball. So it was a great adjustment. But even after game three, Sabrina was held to 4 points. I think she could have been pissed in pressers or interviews, but she was like, okay, now I know what they're going to do. They're trying to stop me. Now we're going to adjust. And that's exactly what they did. And I think all eyes were on that. How are they going to get Sabrina involved? How is Sabrina going to respond? She had 12 points in that first quarter. And I think automatically that was it changed the momentum of the game, and it changed Vegas's energy. It was like, dang, that's not how game three went. it didn't start that way for game three, and game three went in our favor. Yikes.
And by the way, that's a compliment to Sabrina, right?
Absolutely.
When the game plan is you ain't beating us, that's a compliment. But to your point, I loved how Sabrina was like, you know what? I got you. I see. And to Sandy's credit, right, was able to come back. Sandy had a completely different game plan, and Sabrina got off to a hot start. And with a player like that, like when they start the game like that, it's going to be really tough to slow them down. But I thought Stewie played well.
Oh yeah,
John Quayle is playing well. I do think moving to the finals, John Quayle is going to have an even bigger presence in the paint. But because whichever team wins this, Connecticut or Minnesota, defensively, they're going to come at you, right? And Jonquel's going to have a bigger presence in the paint. But I don't know. I love the way the Liberty's playing. They're sharing the basketball. Everybody is stepping up to the moment. And they just look like they're ready to win their first one.
They really
do. Not saying they're going to, but
they look, I mean, you got to go through them. You got to go. And Stewie is just playing out of her mind. In game four, she finished with 19 points, 14 rebounds, 5 assists. She was also just everywhere defensively. I don't know how many blocks she had, but she was switching. She was really good on the nail. I mean, she was flying all over the place. And it was also just this look. I think that's what I was waiting for all of last season. The look of like, you are not going to beat us. And that's what the Liberty had. They came into that and they said, we are winning this game. Like, we're not going to a game five. We're winning this game. And Stewie even said it. Yeah.
She was like, we don't want to go back to New York for game five. We only want to go back to New York for the finals.
And that's what they did. That's what they did. So shout out to New York. Now let's move over to the Aces. We talked about before the series started that Jackie Young needed to be an X factor. We were due for a big Jackie Young game. And I really stood by that. I think she had a good game three. But game four, where was she? I found myself getting frustrated with Jackie. She didn't look like herself. I don't know what was going on. But they needed her. They did. I'll just say that.
Yeah. Game three, to your point. But I thought it was everybody. Do you know, the Aces look like they wanted game three. It was like, listen, it's win or go home. And we ain't ready to go home yet. And so I thought Jackie Young played exceptionally well in game three.
Yeah, she did.
I thought Kelsey Plum, especially in that third quarter of game three, Kelsey Plum played really, really well. Chelsea Gray was being Chelsea Gray. Asia played well, but she wasn't the Asia that we've seen all season. Mm-hmm. And I can't begin to know all the stuff that she has in her head and going on. Just it's been a long season, you know?
For sure.
But she still performed. Do you know, like, she still performed, but I was wanting and needing more from Asia. And game four, Jordan, I'll be honest with you, they looked a little tired to me.
They did. They ran out of gas. Like, that's the best way to say it. They ran out of gas. Yeah.
And I know people are saying, well, they had 6 Olympians. That is crazy when you think about it. You had Tiffany Hayes, who played 3x3.
Yeah.
Megan Gustafson, who played. Chelsea Gray, Jackie Young, Kelsey Plum, Asia Wilson. Ooh, they had the most Olympians than any team. And New York had 3. Right?
Yeah.
Phoebe, Stewie, and Sabrina.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not to make any excuses. I thought they looked really tired.
I'm tired for them. I think, you know, I singled out Jackie Young. Maybe that's not fair. Maybe it is. But here's a stat. I saw this on the ESPN article. So Kelsey Plum, Tiffany Hayes, Chelsea Gray, and Jackie Young combined for 12 of 42 shooting in game four.
Wow.
28%. As a team, as a whole, they hit just 7 of 30 attempts from 3. That's 23%. So it was rough. And I feel like you saw that. And I don't know if... I'm trying to think, like, were all those shots taken away from Asia? Like, I don't know if they were going to her as much as they could have.
Yeah.
That is the defensive scheme from New York, though. You also got to give them credit because it wasn't easy. But it was also just some missed shots, like, around the rim. And to me, that's what equals tiredness. Like, you're making those shots any other day. But when you're exhausted. Because
they were easy. They were easy shots around the basket.
They were getting good looks. So it's not even about that. But, you know, we've talked about it over and over. Asia had an incredible season. It goes without a championship, but three-peats are hard. And Cheryl, you know just how hard they are. Let me ask you this, because your Houston Comets, four straight WNBA championships. Do you think a three-peat, I'm not even saying a four-peat because I know that answer. Do you think a three-peat will ever happen again?
I don't. You want me to elaborate?
Sure.
No, you said it though, Jordan. First of all, it's hard to win one because the talent is so good. But when you talk about winning three, there's a lot of stuff that has to go your way. One, you got to stay healthy. You've got to stay healthy. Every player on that team has got to be prepared for the moment every single day. Even the players who know they're not going to get in the game. But you're a very valuable part to the success of this team, whether that's practice, being the scout team, making sure you're doing everything you can to make sure those who are going to be playing the minutes are prepared. And knowing the scout, right? Those players got to know the scout and be locked in. You also got to have a little luck on your side. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I say that is because you, like, that shit's hard.
It's really hard.
And you got to know that every single team is coming for you. Mm-hmm. They are going to give you their best, even if it's not the playoffs. They're going to give you their best every game because you're the defending champions. And they're like, oh, because for some teams who don't make the playoffs, they're like, well, at least we beat the defending champions. Right. Yeah. And to them, that's a win, as it should be. Mm. But I just think, God, there are just so many things. And I felt like the Aces this year had, and we all know it, right? They had a lot of distractions throughout the season. And you got to be able to, and that's everybody from the trainer to the coaching staff to the front office, everybody, you got to be able to lock that. Like, put that behind you and go do what you're trying to do. And that is win another championship. Mm. And yeah, it's hard.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that there's not talent, but I don't see it happening. Not three in a row.
I don't either. Like, I didn't want to put you on an island there. I'm with you. I don't either. And Asia, you know, she said after the game, talking about going three-peating, just doing it, it's hard. Every team looks different. Your team looks different. Nothing's the same. Everybody wants to beat you. You're everybody's Super Bowl. That's hard to come into. And that's exactly what you were saying. There are other teams around the league building their rosters to beat you. That's what New York Liberty did. So you have to match that and bring that same energy for three seasons straight. That is not easy. And in this ESPN article by Alexa Philippou, she mentions, you know, your Houston Comets were the only team to do it. But in the millennium, in every other sport, only the New York Yankees 98 to 2000 and the Lakers, shout out to my Lakers, 2000 to 02 managed to do it in their respective leagues. No team has done it in the NHL. No team has done it in the NFL. it is not an easy thing to do. So I know there was a lot of pressure on the Aces to maybe, you know, they were so close. But I think the whole time we were just watching saying, okay, this ain't going to be easy. Yeah, we can talk about it. But every team is like, uh-uh, it's our turn. And the Liberty was the team to kind of get it done and say, we built this team to beat you. Yep. So we will not have a repeat of last season. But it's hard. But I don't think it's going to ever be done.
Here's a crazy thing, Jordan. When you look at that, when you say the Liberty built the team to beat the Aces, what piece did they add from last year?
Phoebidge.
You know what I mean? No, I'm saying Phoebidge. When you look, she's like the only player that they added that's different. Mm-hmm. But she's a big piece, mm-hmm. especially in games one. Game one, she played lights out in game one. But just her presence on the floor and knowing that at any given moment, she can get hot and shoot the lights out. Like, you got to respect her. You got to defend her. You got to know where she is on the floor at all times. So, yeah, that's what teams are going to do. They're like, the Aces are the standard. And I will say the Aces have been the standard in the W for the last three to 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say going back even, you know, with the super team talk, that was the team built to beat the Aces. And then when it didn't work, everybody was like, oh, shoot, we got to build more to beat the Aces. So it's going back after the Aces won one and then they won two. Then a bunch of people were trying to be in the mix to be the team to beat the Aces. So I again, just like you said, with the scout against Sabrina, that was a compliment to the Aces and what they were building and what they are doing. I think the Seattle Storm was trying to build to beat the Aces. Like, that was everybody's MO. But still a good season. Becky Hammond say in her press conference, our team isn't going to look the same next year. Mm. A lot of people are kind of circulating that quote. She said she wishes she loves this team. I think she's just saying it matter of factly, like, it's no way that this team is going to stay together for this long.
She ain't saying that matter of factly. No, I'm just playing. There's a lot that's going on. You got an expansion draft. And listen, anytime you don't win a championship, you got to go back to the drawing board and say, all right, what do we need to change? What do we need to add?
She said this will be her first time doing exit interviews. Like, she's only done exit partying. <I know. laughs> Like, what a flex.
Yeah, Becky. I know. What a flex. I don't know anything about exit interviews.
Yeah.
Don't know nothing about it.
Before. So that should be interesting. All right. We're going to talk about New York in a little bit because we need to talk about who they could potentially play. Game four. The Connecticut Sun defeated the Minnesota Lynx 92-82 to force a winner-take-all game five in Minnesota. We are recording this Tuesday morning. That game is tonight. Woo! Season on the line. Alyssa Thomas, Ty Harris helped Connecticut force a game five. 20 points by Ty Harris moved back into the starting lineup. Great decision to bring Marina Mabry back off of the bench. But Alyssa Thomas, 18 points, 11 assists, 8 rebounds, almost another triple-double. Are we surprised?
Girl, that's light work. That's light work for 18.
Light work. But the Sun, they rallied back from 7-point deficit at halftime. The game was tied at 61 before the Sun scored 7 of the final 9 points of the third quarter. They just kept going from that point. Dwanna Bonner, 18 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists. She came out looking smooth. Woo! I was like, oh, this is playoff DB. Good luck to everybody in the arena. She is focused. Dejanay, 15 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. incredible, incredible performance by the son. They said, we're not done yet, Cheryl.
Yeah, the way the game started, though, I was like, all right, Minnesota. It's going to be Minnesota, New York.
Ooh.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
And then the way Connecticut came back, they were like, it was almost like they heard me. And they were like, oh, no, no, ma'am. No, ma'am, Swoops. Do not count us out just yet. When for the Sun, when they're all scoring,
yeah,
they're a really, really, really good team. Yeah. Because you know what they're going to do defensively. Mm-hmm. For me, it's the offense that concerns me at times, right? If their shots aren't falling, if they've got to just rely on one player to carry the load, they're not going to win. Mm-hmm. And a game like this, when you have Dejanay scoring, AT scoring, Dewana scoring, and I love Ty Harris, to me, was a big difference in this game. Yes. Right. Ty Harris, she just brings something different than Veronica Burton. Veronica, mm-hmm. I think, has been playing exceptionally well, attacking the basket, defending. But Ty Harris can spread the floor. Right. She can shoot the three. She's going to attack, get to the. I love Ty Harris in the starting lineup. And you need some firepower coming in off the bench. And mm-hmm. that is Marina. And I don't think Marina has shot the ball as well as she did in game one. Game one, she couldn't miss. She could close her eyes and just throw it up and it was going in. That's the Marina they're going to need in game five on the road in Minnesota if they're going to win this game, in addition mm-hmm. to everybody else doing what they're doing. But let me just tell you, everybody talks about Alyssa Thomas's shot, right? There's some that call it a shot put, some call it a push shot. My thing is, I don't really care what you call it. That thing was going in game four. Alyssa Thomas was shooting some shots and making moves. And I was like, okay, AT is deep in her bag tonight.
Yes.
And Dewana Bonner, it was like there was a light or something that went off in her head that was like, we are not losing this game. We are going to take this to a game five and anything can happen. I just thought Connecticut looked so good, especially in the second half. They're mm-hmm. going to need to bring that and then some to Minnesota if they want to win game five. But that game was so much fun to watch.
It was so much fun to watch. And a couple things, because going back to game three, it was a head scratcher for mm-hmm. Connecticut. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, what are we doing? Like, this doesn't look. And I think Tarika Foster Brasby, she tweeted, I don't recognize this Sun team. It was an unrecognizable offense. You saw Alyssa Thomas getting frustrated every single defensive play. They were yelling at each other. There was no flow there. It was like, oh, gross. Like, I don't know what team this is. And if that Connecticut Sun team was going to show up for game four, I was with you right at the beginning. All right. It's going to be Minnesota and New York. Yeah. Like, that. There's no way. But there was a light bulb that went off. I don't know what conversations they had in the group text. I don't know what was said pregame, but especially at halftime, Stephanie White had some things to say, and just recognizing what they can do. Dejanay was asked about what that halftime speech was after the game. And she said, you know, if anybody has to tell you anything in the playoffs to get up and to change, then you shouldn't be here. And I'm sure that was the vibe in the locker room of, we've made it this far. We are a really good team. Now let's show everybody why we are a really good team. Still, on the defensive end, let's talk about Minnesota. Nafisa Collier still got 29 points and 13 rebounds. And I think they did a great defensive job on her in the second half, I will say. But I'm very curious, and I want to ask you about this, because Alyssa Thomas had the defensive assignment for Nafisa Collier, and it was about five possessions in a row that Nafisa was scoring, just shooting over Thomas. And then Alyssa Thomas didn't want to get into foul trouble, so she was kind of letting her go by. Here's what I said when I was watching it. I was like, one or two things are happening. Yes, you need to switch it up. But then it's Alyssa Thomas. Like, her pride is definitely a mix in there of, like, I want the defensive assignment. Who is telling her that we need to switch it up because it's not working? Is it Dawana Bonner?
No, like, it's, hey, it's Stephanie White. And you don't say switch it up because it ain't working, right?
All right.
But I love Dawana's length on Nafisa. Here's the thing. AT is absolutely stronger when Nafisa, you know, takes her down on the block. She's stronger so she can bang with her. But that's where she's going to pick up her fouls, because Nafisa can still shoot over AT. Dawana is going to have to, like, use her strength and use her body and try to push Nafisa off the block a little bit. But there was one play when they did switch and Dawana got a nice block, right? If I'm Stephanie White, I'm saying we're going to start Dawana Bonner on Nafisa Collier, because Nafisa is just a hell of an offensive player. You're not going to completely shut her down, but you want to try and limit her from going off. Now, mind you, this is game five, so you got to throw everything in the kitchen sink at her. But I'm going to start. I'm going to start off with Dawana Bonner on Nafisa Collier, right? You got Bree Jones on. I'm trying to. Who do they start? You start Bree Jones. Bree Jones has got to guard Alanna Smith. Mm-hmm. The only issue with that is Alanna's going to pull Bree away from the basket, and she's going to be shooting threes. Right. That's what she does. She puts it on the floor. But I'm still going to roll with that. If Alanna Smith is going to beat me, then she's going to beat me. Right. Because I know what Nafisa Collier can do. And then I'm going to put AT on. Who do you have? Courtney Williams. I would put AT on Bridget Carleton. I would put Dejanay on Kayla McBride and Ty Harris on Courtney Williams to start the game. Because AT can guard Bridget Carleton. And here's the other thing. AT talking smack to Nafisa doesn't really affect her. It doesn't. AT, I think, can get in Bridget Carleton's head. I really do. And you know what? Because Bridget Carleton
coverage. The single coverage on Nafisa was also an issue. So it's like, start with Dawana Bonner, and then who is that person that's going to come help? She was barbecue chicken all night when she was like, oh, it's Alyssa Thomas, it's and you're not going to send anyone? I'm getting 50 points tonight.
Yeah, like, so Jordan, that's why you mix it up and at least start Dawana Honor, right? And see what happens. And if she is going off, then Stephanie White, that's what you get paid the big bucks for. you got to make an adjustment. It's game five. Your pride goes out the window. Whatever is going to work, you need to send a double, then you got to start sending a double. You got to do something different, right? But, and I say AT can guard Bridget Carleton and try to get in her head, because when Bridget Carleton is shooting the basketball, that's who's tough to stop too. When you got Nafisa doing Nafisa things and Bridget Carleton shooting the ball well, and Kayla McBride is doing her thing. Like, they're a tough team to beat, and it's game five. So what is going to be your advantage? What's going to be your edge? It's game five. So the stuff you've been doing in game one, two, three, four, you got to switch it up.
I
know I'll be in front of the TV watching.
Woo! So will I. After tonight, we will know who our finals matchup is, which the finals start on Thursday. We know that New York Liberty is going to be there. We know what they can do. We know that this is a team poised and ready to get their franchise's first championship. If it's Connecticut Sun that's facing them, it'll be a first-time champion for either franchise, which is actually really fun, really exciting. Minnesota has not been to the finals since 2017, and that was the last time that they won it. So, mini quick finals preview of what does it look like if the Sun win game five and they play the Liberty? How do we like that matchup? You talked about Jonquil Jones. I think that is going to be huge going up against your former team. It's going to be a battle against Bree Jones. I can see.
But I them do like pulling. That matchup.
I do like that matchup. I can see JJ stretching the floor, but also getting it on the block and going against Bree Jones. But overall, just some quick thoughts if the Sun have to play the Liberty.
I like that matchup. I do. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to say this. If that is the matchup, I am putting Dawana Bonner on Stewie.
Yeah.
I'm not putting AT on Stewie. I'm going to put AT on Benaija Laney.
Okay.
I'm going to put AT on Benaija Laney. And Dejanay on Sabrina.
Absolutely. Yes.
And Ty on who? I don't want to put Ty on Phoebish though, because she is going to be posting up all day long.
And she's shooting over.
Yeah, she is. But even if you put Ty on
Benaija
Laney. Benaija, she's a smart basketball player. She's going to post her up too, but AT on Stewie is like AT on Nafisa.
Nafisa, yes.
You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I'm gonna take my chances, and if it happens where Phoebish is or Benaija, whoever ties on, they're posting up, then I'll make some adjustments. Mm-hmm. But I'll say this: I know Stewie can beat me. You know what I mean? I know Sabrina can beat me. So I'm going to take my chances on Benaija and Phoebish beating me. If Phoebish wants to post me up the whole game, I'll take a 2-3. Oh, but I also know Ty, just her pride. Ty Harris is going to defend, even if they are trying to post her up. Because then when you sub and you take Ty out and you bring Marina in, it's from a height standpoint, it's a better matchup. Mm-hmm. But I may like the Sun Liberty matchup. Oof. I was going to say better than the Lynx Liberty, but I don't know. I love a Stewie Nafisa matchup.
Oh,
right now.
That's an all timer. Mm-hmm. Like that is, it's going to be so good. I think UConn fans are going to rejoice. They're going to be singing hymns. They are going to be so happy to see Nafisa Collier and Breanna Stewart battle. I mean, look, Nafisa Collier is playing some incredible basketball right now. And just selfish basketball fan standpoint, I'm not done seeing her play. Like, I want to see Nafisa in the finals. What does that look like? We have not seen that before.
We haven't seen it. And that's where I am with the Sun. I know. And that's where I am with the Sun. I would love to see a Dawana Bonner AT finals. Mm-hmm. AT has been doing this thing for a long, long, long time and has never made it to the finals.
She hasn't? Yes, she has. They've been there.
Connecticut?
They were there in 2022.
They have been there, but maybe I should say they haven't won. Yeah, James, they haven't won. But something about me wanting to see DB and AT in the finals.
In the finals.
Trying to win their first one.
This is a different team from 2022, though, for sure. Big part is Jonquil Jones. Maybe it was 2021. We're going to find that out. But Jonquil Jones is on the other team.
You're right. Yeah.
But they have always been, they've come up short. Okay, it was 2022. They have always come up short. And so I, look, I'm excited.
Before we even get there, let's just say, who you got winning tonight?
Oh, no.
Sun or Lynx? You don't have to answer. Because then you're going to ask me.
Let me put our Our producer, James, said Sun in five. He said that before the series started. So I'm gonna leave that there. See if he's right on that. But I'm going to go with what I hope. I think I want to see a Fee-Stewie finals. So Nafisa Collier at home, game five, the season that she has been having, I think the Lynx take it. Famous last words.
Ooh. So here's the one thing I will say. The Sun, they've proven to us that they can beat Minnesota in Minnesota. Game one. You know what I want to see? I want to see a Marina Mabry, Sabrina Ionescu finals. Because they're both spicy. They both got a little spice to them. And Mabry is going to always find somebody on the other team to talk some you know what to.
She's even riling up Nafisa. Listen, and nobody.
Yeah, I was reading her mouth. Nafisa. Did you see her the last game when she was like, trash? I was like, I'm here for it. I am here for it. So I know you want a Fee-Stewie and I want a ATDB Liberty. So
all right.
That's where I am.
All right, well, I guess we will see. The next time we are on this podcast, we will know. We will know. All right. That was our basketball talk. That was fun. We're going to take a quick break, pay some bills, and we're going to give out some flowers. Welcome back to Queens of the Court, and it's time for Giving Flowers, presented by AT&T. I think we both have some bouquets to hand out, but I'm going to go first, Cheryl. Is that okay?
You go first, yeah.
Okay. I'm going to give flowers to my sister because she graduated this past weekend with her master's in nursing. She is now a nurse practitioner. That's
big time.
She is a big dog. She knows a lot. That means, if you don't even know what that means, just know she knows a lot about a lot. That's how I describe
it. That's big time.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing about my sister. My sister is the most hardworking person I know. This is my older sister. We have an 8-year age gap. It took her 3.5 years to get her master's. She had 2 kids in that time. She has a photo of her in the hospital room about to give birth with her laptop finishing an assignment. Like, this woman is incredible. And I gave her all her flowers. I love on her always. But she is like a superwoman in my eyes. She has 3 kids under 4, and now she's a nurse practitioner. I don't know how she does it. I'm tired just saying that sentence, but she gets it done. And I love her so much.
Congratulations to her.
Right?
Like, first of all, that's a huge accomplishment for anyone. But then to do it with, you said 2 kids?
She had 2 kids just doing the master's degree, but she has 3 kids under 4.
Well, so, oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's even more impressive. Congratulations. I know who to call when I got some medical questions. I ain't going to no doctor.
Hey. She is on everybody's speed dial. She knows all of the answers.
I need that number. Okay, so I'm going to give flowers to someone, and then I want to say something separate from this.
Okay, great.
Okay, so I'm going to give my flowers today to Sabrina Ionescu. Here's why. I have been, not this year, last year, year before, I've been really critical of Sabrina and just the expectations. I think what people put on her coming into the league, you know, first year she had an ankle injury. She's just been dealing with injury. And I think this year to me was the first year that she's been 100% healthy, and it shows. I think she's grown tremendously, but just her basketball play and her basketball knowledge is coming through. And I think, you know, we talk about Stewie. Everybody talks about Stewie. I think Sabrina is a big reason why the New York Liberty have an opportunity to win their first championship. So I am giving Sabrina a big bouquet, saying congratulations on making it to the finals and good luck in the finals.
So nice. So sweet. I love it.
And then the last thing I want to say before we go, and I meant to say this at the top so I wouldn't get all mushy, and I'm going to try not to. Seriously, Jordan, I just want to send out a big hug and prayer to all the people in North Carolina and Florida that's still dealing with Hurricane Helene and now Hurricane Milton. I know what we dealt with here in Houston with Burl, and like my heart goes out to everybody that's in the path of the hurricane, and you know, just want to keep them in prayer and just hope everybody gets through it safely.
Yes,
Very devastating.
It really, really is. Yes, we're sending you flowers, prayers, everything, thoughts, all of that. Yes, very well said. Very well said. Mm-hmm. This has been Giving Flowers presented by AT&T. Thanks for staying along for the ride for this doozy of an episode. Mm-hmm. But please continue to follow, rate, and review the show. It's available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Send us your questions, thoughts, stories. It's finals. Like, send us all of your thoughts. We want to hear them at queensofthecourt@odyssey.com.
And don't forget, we will be having our Queens of the Court award. If you subjects, topics, awards that you want to see us give out, and it's not like your typical ones, it's like best dress and best lashes and whatever else. You can send it to us on social media. You can find me at AirSwoops22 and Jordan is at HeyJordanR.
Queens of the Court is an Odyssey original created in partnership with the WNBA.
The show is produced by James Jackson. The executive producers are Asha Saluja, Maddie Sprung-Kaiser, and Leah Reese-Dennis. Social media assistance from Isabella Apple, music from T-Storm Battle, and a special thank you to Alex Ozzy and Lena Moss-Glazer.
And Court.
And Court.
Is adjourned.
Is adjourned.